Good to be back out here with you this morning. Last month or so, I've used some props and stuff, and I'm going to use them again today. But I want you to hear a story that I'll be in Acts, by the way, if you want to turn there. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 5 through 11. When you get there, I'll have you stand here and remember reading God's Word. But how many of you know who John Hagee is? Most of you here know who John Hagee is. Back in 1971, whenever he took over his church that he has now, which it has grown immensely since that time, but he was on a Wednesday night, he was doing a teaching service at his church, and a gentleman come into church and come right up to the front and told him, said, I'm here to kill you, and he said that I've been sent here to kill you, and he pulled out a gun, and John Hagee said he was standing probably about 5 feet away from him. And he pulled out that gun, and John Hagee said, held up his Bible, and he said, there's no weapon that is formed against me that can do anything. He said that guy shot six shots at him. He said almost point blank range. He said that the guy was done, he took off running. He said the bullets didn't hit him. He said he took off running, went out the back of the church, and one of the guys in the back of the church tackled him. But anyway, he said the next day the police came and they lined it out. And they said, they showed him where this guy was standing, where he was standing. He said, three bullets went on this side of him and three bullets went on this side of him. And what I say that for is, guys, listen to me. The supernatural power of God is something that is real. I want that understood. I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit this morning. I want to talk about it. I want to show you why it's important. And I want to tell you this morning this, and I want you to understand this as I get to the Scripture. Without the Spirit, you are none of His. You're not saved. And I'm being as blunt as I can be this morning. I'll get into it here in just a little bit. But if you would, turn to Acts, the first chapter. We're going to start with the fifth verse. These words are in Jesus. This is read. Most of this is read down through here. Down to the 11th verse. Stand if you would. And it goes on to say, for John truly baptized with water. Get this. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were to come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time nor the season which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses and to be both into Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as has been see him go into heaven. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I pray, Father, that this sermon go out the way that you would want it, Lord, today. I pray hearts and minds will be open, Lord. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, as the Bible says, as the Scripture said, today is the day of salvation. Today is the very day that you could come to know him, as know you as their personal Savior. I ask you, Father, now to continue to be with the service. Get me out of the way, Lord, and we will give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You may be seated, and amen. Like the story I told you about John Hagee, I want you to understand this, we can't live a supernatural Christian life in the flesh. Amen? It cannot do it. Within ourselves, we do not have the strength to do it. We can't do it on our own accord. Trying to live a Christian life isn't just hard. Without the Spirit, let me put it to you bluntly. It is impossible. Impossible. Totally impossible. No way. Galatians 2:20 says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. When you're saved, Christ lives in you. How's that? Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's how Christ lives in you. How does Jesus do that? The scripture I just read tells us how he does it. I would like to talk about the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost this morning. Hopefully, and I've got an illustration here. Hopefully, I can do this. You see this? This is a glove. This is a work glove. Put together, it's leather, it's good. It's this thing right here was made to work with. Amen? If you see it here, this glove was made to work. Okay. I throw it down next to that Bible right there. I say, glove, pick up that Bible. Glove's made to work, right? I said, glove, pick up that Bible. Nothing's happening. Not a thing's happening with it. Maybe that glove needs some encouragement. Everybody help me. Let's encourage this glove. Hey, glove, come on, glove. You can do it. Come on, glove, pick up that Bible. It can't do it, can it? Can't do it. What's the matter? It's made to work, right? Well, maybe it needs some discipling. Maybe it needs to be taught what to do, right? Okay, let me help it here. Come on, glove, put your finger and your thumb together. Come on, that's what you got to do. Let's do that, and let's lift that Bible up. That glove can't do it, right? It's not doing it. I know what it needs. It needs some fellowship from other gloves. That's what it needs. There we go. Come on, glove. Here we go. Redneck glove. Let's just do that. Let's just throw all these gloves out there. Now, it's got all kind of people. It's got all kind of gloves around it, right? So, come on, glove. Now you can lift that Bible, right? Well, still not doing it. What's the matter with that glove? I know what it is. It needs to rededicate its life. It needs to come up here and raise its hand and rededicate its life, and it can do, and it'll be able to do that. So it needs to do that. Come on, glove, you just need to rededicate your life. It's becoming painfully obvious, right? You know, that glove can't do anything on its own. But if it gets a hand put in it and fills up every bit of that glove, it can pick that Bible up, and it can do what's meant to be done. Amen? Let me tell you something this morning. Let me tell you. There's a lot of people that are like this glove without the Spirit in it. You can throw that glove down, or like I said, you can say, glove, do. Do what you want to do, glove. But yet, they don't move it. They don't do it. They don't have it within themselves to do it. You know what? No matter what, there's nothing that can be done. Maybe, you know, it's one of those things, brothers and sisters, where as I was thinking about this, I know that's simple. I know it's kind of stupid. The point, though, is obvious. Unless a living hand was placed in that glove cannot do anything. Unless the Spirit is indwelling us, we cannot do anything in the power of God for God. It can't happen. It won't happen. It has to be working through the glove. It has to do that. And that's how the Christian life should work. Will you agree with me this morning? Whenever Jesus said this right here, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, at the moment of salvation, at the moment that you're born again, the Holy Ghost should be indwelling you at that time. Amen. And as we grow, you let the Holy Ghost mature in you. You let the Holy Ghost work more and more in your life, and it will show you and guide you and lift you up. And you'll be like this glove with every part of your hand stuck in it. You'll be able to live a supernatural, powerful life for the Lord. But you will not be able to do it on your own. You will not be able to do it on your own. Amen. He does that through the Holy Ghost that dwells in us at the moment of conversion. That's what happens. Now, talking about being filled with the Spirit is not a mythical thing. I want that understood here this morning. It's not mythical. It is absolutely real. It's absolutely what we need to be done. Let's not get caught up. Too many times we get caught up in what denominations say and what traditions say about the Holy Ghost. You know what we need to do? We need to listen to what the Bible says about it. Put all the rest of that nonsense out of your mind. What does the Bible have to say about it? The Spirit, listen to me, the Spirit that is with it, listen, the Spirit has to convict, first off. They had mentioned in this morning's teaching. Listen to me, if you're not saved here this morning, the Holy Spirit's not indwelling you, but the Holy Spirit will ensure in the world convict you. It says in John 16:8, and when He is come, that's the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. If you're lost and you're sitting here this morning and something just keeps gnawing at you and wanting you to come forward, that's not just your conscience, brother. That's the Holy Spirit trying to deal with you, trying to tell you that this things aren't right. He will reprove the world of righteousness. That's what the Holy Spirit done. It's what it does to the lost. It's just something that doesn't happen. It's just not something that just happens back then as well. I've heard that. I do not agree with that. I'm just going to be blunt with you. It's not something that just happened back then. That's what tradition teaches. That's what man teaches. The Holy Spirit is still dwelling on this earth today. It's still moving today. It's still doing the things that it did back then. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. If you're saved, the Spirit is given to every man and woman for profit withal. Don't think for a minute, well, I don't know. If you don't know what I'm talking about this morning here, when I'm talking about the indwelling of the Spirit, there's a good chance you don't know what the indwelling of the Spirit's about. Because when you're saved, you will know. It'll come upon you. It'll make you feel like Hayward used to say, you can whip a sack full of wildcats. It's not just something that happened back then. The Spirit comes to Christian at the moment of conversion. Ephesians 4, 20 and 24 tells us this. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed, listen to me, renewed in the Spirit in your mind. That's what happens. Your mind, your spirit is renewed. And it says, that ye be put on the new man, after God is created in righteousness and holiness. From the moment you receive the Comforter into your life, your life will never be the same. I'm just here to tell you, it will never be the same from that point on. Never. Never. If it is, I'm telling you again, check and see where you're at here this morning. It will never be the same. This is how Jesus walks and talks with us. This is how the Bible will become real to us, is by the Holy Spirit revealing things in there. You just don't, you'll pick it up and you'll read it and you say, man alive, that's for me, that is truth. You don't doubt it. That is truth. How does he set, and I'll tell you what, this is how God will set you on fire for Him. Amen. Amen? That's how the Holy Spirit working and having you filled completely up with His Spirit is how that you will be set on fire for Him. Praise God this morning. That's what we're talking about. When He said, and you shall receive power. That's what it's about. That's what it is. Like I said, it's not something that's mythical. It's not something that I've made up or anybody else has made up. Praise God this morning. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there is power that overtakes your life. You think I could get up here and do this on my own? I can't do this. I can't hardly talk when I was in school, not alone do this. He said, this is what sets you on fire. This is how you grow. Let's make sure we catch what the Scripture is trying to tell us here this morning. This is extremely important this morning. Extremely important. We are controlled by one of two things. We either controlled by our sin nature or we are controlled by the Holy Spirit here this morning. Either one, either or. There's no in between. You are either controlled by your sin nature or you are controlled by the Holy Ghost here this morning. Make no mistake, you're one of these two categories this morning. There's nothing to do about it. If you are to be serious about what controls us, I believe we need to ask ourselves a very important question this morning. Are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart here this morning? That is the most important question that you could ask. But it is an important question that all of us have to ask and have to answer for ourselves. Because the Spirit is not in you if you haven't. Romans 8, 9 tells us that. It says this, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, repeat this with me, he is none of his. That's not me talking. Greg said it best for you. You can believe all you want. The devil believes. But unless you're saved and the Spirit is indwelling you, you're not saved. Glove, testify of His goodness. Can the glove testify of His goodness without that hand in it? Nope. Glove, go to church. Tell that glove to go to church. Right? Glove, do this. Glove, do that. That glove, like I threw it down there, will not do a thing unless the hand is put in it. Praise God. When the Holy Spirit indwells you, you want to do the things of God. Amen. You're wanting to testify. You're wanting to go to church. You're wanting to do all this stuff. It isn't a burden. It isn't some hassle to you. Praise God. When you're on fire with the Holy Spirit of God in your life, I'm here to tell you this morning, you will have a desire beyond desires. Psalms 25:5 says this. This is one translation of this, and this is, I like his translation. It says 25:5, take me by the hand and lead me down the path of truth, for you are my Savior. Amen. That's what happened. He'll take you by the hand. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. As only He can do, because He is that kind of a God. John 16:30, howbeit, this is important, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, what's it say He will do? He will guide you to all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, and whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. That is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and working in you and taking a hold of you and guiding your life, for He will show you of things to come. What dominates your thoughts? I wrote some of this stuff down here. You know what? If you're of the Holy Spirit, what dominates your thoughts? Glove? I can tell this glove again. Glove? Think only good thoughts. Think that glove's going to do anything like that? I could preach to you all day long. As my grandmother used to say, I could preach to them blue in the face. And it will do not do any good unless you have a desire, unless the Holy Spirit is indwelling you to where you want to grow and where if you want to do better. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says this, for they that after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Underline that, do mind, if you get it, if you get back here. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when a sinful nature is in control of your mind, what's it do? It leads to death. When you are spiritually minded, it leads you to life. It leads you to down the path that Jesus, that God has for you. That's what it says. That's what it does. The Scriptures are clear that when we are followers of Jesus, whenever we are saved, whenever the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, that there is a transformation that will take place in your life. Amen. It is clear. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I want you to understand that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're a new individual. You're brand new. You've been made over. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's a lot that's encompassed in that scripture right there. But one of the things that I want you to know that becomes new is the mind thoughts, is the mind process. It's how we think. Romans 12:2 tells us this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And I said this as my scripture at the beginning of the year, for the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, whenever the Spirit comes into your life, whenever that Holy Spirit gives you that power, your mind, your thoughts change, your thought processes change. It does. Praise God. My thought process has changed from the moment that I got saved until now. They've changed because God has given me a different outlook on life, a different way to think of things, reading the scriptures and things like to doing things like that. My thought processes have changed. If the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in you, it's impossible. And let me repeat this. It is impossible to have thoughts to do God's will. It's impossible. Well, you say, well, Dave, what about to do God's will and to constantly think on God's word and constantly do what God has? It's impossible without the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity. This is important. Wow, I just can't do that. The Bible says that you can. Say amen. The Scripture says that you can bring your thoughts into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. You can't do that without the Holy Ghost. You can't do it without the Spirit in your life. But you can bring your thoughts into captivity. Even a washed in the blood, born again Christian, sometimes will have, and that's the operative word, sometimes have trouble controlling their thoughts. But somebody that is lost, that doesn't have the Holy Spirit in their mind, they don't care about that stuff. They don't care. They don't care where their minds go. As Christians, praise God, we should care where our minds go. You agree? The Holy Spirit will have control of the way we talk. Do you agree with that? Proverbs 13:3 tells us this. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. I'm going to say this. I've seen a lot of big mouth people in my life. Amen? Matthew 12:37. For by the words thou shalt be justified, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Yes, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you can help you take control of your words. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, what's it say? This man's religion is what? It is vain. It is vain. Ecclesiastes 3:7. A time to rend and a time to sow. This is what we need to learn. There's a time to keep silence, and there is a time to speak. Amen? There's times in my life I need to be silent. There's times in my life I need to be quiet. I'm learning as I go. But through the Holy Spirit, show me that I need to learn to be quiet instead of speaking at everything. That's a lesson that we all should learn. Because praise God, if you let the Holy Spirit work, I can guarantee you this, the Holy Spirit will take care of the problems in our life sometimes if we just let Him do it. We don't have to say a lot sometimes. We just need to pray. It controls the way we act. Colossians 1, 9 through 10 says this, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in knowledge and in the knowledge of God. Someone who does not have the Spirit in them is just like that glove without a hand in it. They'll act whatever way that they want to act. They'll do what they want to do. It ain't happening, folks. It ain't happening without the Spirit of God in your heart. excuse my English, it just ain't going to happen. Living Christian life is impossible. Someone is like this. And I'll tell you, then they are do mind the things of the flesh. And to be carnally minded is death, is what it tells us in the scripture over in Romans. Where do your priorities lie? Yeah, I'm going through a lot of things this morning, but I want you to understand how important it is to have the Holy Spirit in your life and how that you can see if the Holy Spirit is being manifested in your life here this morning. What dictates your behavior? Romans 8, 7, 9, because be carnally minded, intimacy between against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, and neither indeed can be. So then, when they are in the flesh, cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But if so, the Spirit of God dwell in you, if any man, again, have not the Spirit of God, have not the Spirit, and they are none of his. Listen, because be carnally minded, intimacy between God, is totally working against what God wants for you to do. If you were carnally minded, totally. That's what it wants. That's what it's about. The Spirit is in control of you. It's totally different. This means we obey the Word of God. It means that we do all, I will hasten not to delay and to obey God's Word. I got something else here too. It's important to realize that you are the vessel by which the Holy Spirit lives in. Okay. I know these were simple illustrations, but bear with me. Bear with me. If somebody ordered a pizza and it come to your house, and whenever the pizza delivery guy ding-donged the bell or knocked on your door to deliver the pizza, and he was just holding the pizza like this, no box, just holding it like this, and the cheese is dripping down and going down to the ground, and just walking around like this, and it's all over his clothes and all that stuff, what would be the first thing you'd ask him? Where's the box? Where's the box? Why is that important? Well, just like this box right here probably only costs 50 cents. Now, the pizza's more, you know that. You know what's important? It's not the box, it's what's inside of it. Amen. It's what's inside of you that's important. Yes, sir. We're the vessels. We're the vessels. And everybody in here can be that vessel. God's not wanting to keep anybody out of it. He's saying anybody can be that vessel for the Holy Spirit. He said anybody can be that way. I want you to know something here this morning. There's not a one of you in here this morning that is not worthy of being that vessel. But it's you that's holding it back. It's you that's doing it. Listen, I would like you to understand this morning. Listen, praise God. You are worthy to be that vessel. The box may not... This vessel right here may not be worth a whole lot. But it was worth enough for Jesus Christ to go and die on the cross for. That's everybody in here. He give it all. God give his very best. Amen. Amen. That whenever he died, he didn't want to leave us comfortless. He didn't want to, and he made us to where we could be receptive of the Holy Spirit, of that power. And all that we have to do is be willing to accept it into our lives and have him leaven to grow into our lives. We're just a vessel. Christ is in us. Let me tell you something. Don't get puffed up. Don't get puffed up. We're just that 50-cent vessel. What makes us worthy to God is that precious blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to our lives and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. That's where we get that. That's what's important. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be movie star good looks. You don't have to be any of that stuff. You just have to be a willing vessel. Are you willing here this morning? That's my question to you. Is the Holy Spirit, are you letting it move and dwell and work in your life? There are even Christians that don't let the Holy Spirit work the way that it's wanting to work. They fight against it sometimes. Praise God, don't fight. Let it guide, let it direct you. Let it feel you. Let it be like this glove. Let it, when this hand in here, it feels every bit of this glove. Let the Holy Spirit fill every bit of you from head to toe. Let it have control of your mind. Let it have control over your mouth. Let it have control over your actions. Let it do all that. Let God indwell you like He wants to do. Praise God this morning. I'll tell you what. I'm going to quit here. I'm about done. But you know what? As they come get ready to get a song, let me ask you this morning. You know this. I can, like I said, I'm preaching to you this morning, but you know in your mind, in your heart, where you're at with God this morning. You know. I don't have to come back and shake a hand. I don't have to come back and grab nobody. Because you know where you're at this morning. Have you received power? Are you living a supernatural life? Not on your own, but through the power of the Holy Ghost? That's a question all of us need to answer for ourselves. It's not impossible. Amen? It's not impossible. We can all do it. Because everyone in here I see, every one of you I look upon here, you are a worthy vessel for that. You're worthy. Just come and get what God has for you. Praise God this morning.